You're listening to Real Talk, sponsored by Marcus Werenberg Theaters. I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
And in honor of May the 4th,
we're going to preview the summer blockbuster
That's
season.
That's right, summer blockbuster season, which technically started today. So today's episode, we're going to briefly recap Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which we just finished seeing less than an hour ago. And then we are going to sort of glaze over the rest of the films coming out throughout the summer and kind of discuss which ones we're most excited for and those we're maybe not as excited for.
And which ones to skip.
And which ones to skip.
Without even seeing probably the trailer.
Exactly.
We just can see from the name, like, all right, here we go again.
And let's just skip that one altogether.
Because there are some of them that we'll get to.
Oh, without a doubt. So, I mean, do you want to just get right into it?
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Very good.
Very good. Yeah, I loved it. It was hilarious. I mean, it was truly hilarious.
I thought at times, like, because it's like the first one, it juggles a lot of, you know, seriousness and comedy.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's the sequel, so it's amplified.
Yeah.
But it worked very well, which surprised me.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, an instance or two, I was like, okay, maybe if they don't pull out right now, it's going to start getting a little old. And I think that's what what James Gunn did. He knew when to pull back, when to go forward.
He has that timing just absolutely mastered.
He's a very good pinpoint director. He knows
exactly
how to start a story. He knows how to draw it out, and he knows how to direct it. That's what I like about him.
And something we were talking about in the car ride to the station from the theater just a few moments ago, you know, that the balance is impeccable. I mean, there is literally a perfect balance between that comedy, that those lighthearted moments, and those serious action moments that, I mean, just blend together to make an awesome movie.
I got to say, with this generation of comic book movies, you know, they're all the rage. Everyone's making them, you know, probably 57 a year from each Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
This is the one that feels like a comic book.
I agree.
Like,
I completely agree.
It's fun. It's like a, you know, the classic comics. It's fun to read. It has, you know, that serious story just you know, because it has to.
Because it has to have it, yeah.
And this is the only film I think does that well.
Yeah.
You could say Deadpool kind of did that, but again, that was, you know, the character. This is the one that actually feels like this is based on a comic book.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And something else I briefly mentioned when we got into the car after the movie, and I said, I think Guardians is becoming my favorite part of the Marvel Universe. If it already isn't.
Oh, for me, it already is.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great. The characters are so lovable. And what's so great about the characters is they're so relatable. They really are. I mean, they're hilarious.
And, oh, yeah, they have great chemistry with each other, the actors, and just how these characters are set up, like you said. It is believable.
It is.
And it never felt like, because, you know, the sequels are always cursing, like, oh, we're going to go over the plot points again. They have to become a team again.
It's like, yeah.
And they kind of do that here, but it made sense. It's like, yeah, this is just too many conflicting personalities in one room.
Yeah.
But, again, they're always developing with each other, and that's what's great to see. This isn't just another sequel. I mean, of course it is.
Yeah.
But it felt like it's actually moving in a direction.
Well, yeah, and something we always talk about is, you know, sequels can be very scary things. And I think this was the exact opposite of a scary sequel. I thought it was brilliantly done. I mean, I definitely enjoyed it.
I think what's great about it overall is how this whole film just does not care about saving the universe.
Exactly.
It's almost like a inconvenience for him. It's like, gotta save it again.
Yeah, it's because it's our job.
But again, they make the joke, and it's like, well, this is going to help
our pay.
Yeah. We can get paid more now because like, hey,
exactly,
we saved it twice. You got it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, which I enjoyed a lot, just that line. And I gotta say, Dave Bautista as Drax the Destroyer is my favorite
thing. He's hilarious.
He was my favorite wrestler growing up, and now he's probably my favorite superhero, without a doubt.
Oh, he's hilarious. He helps make the movie as good as it is.
He sells his character perfectly.
He really does.
He knows, because that could be a character that can get old really fast. He just knows how to deliver it so well.
Yeah.
And I got to commend him for that, because that is very good on his part.
Oh, without a doubt.
And again, Chris Pratt's, you know, he's the fun protagonist.
He is. I mean, what's so funny about this, I mean, being in Missouri, there are multiple references in this movie to Missouri. You know, he's just a corn-fed, you know, salt-of-the-earth guy. And, you know, everyone in the crowd was all excited, you know, in that opening scene. We're going to try to leave a lot of spoilers out because technically the movie, quote-unquote, technically isn't released until midnight. But, you know, they have early showings, obviously, and we caught one of the early showings. So we're going to try to leave a large majority of spoilers out of this episode and kind of let you, you know, watch it for yourself. but just a lot of cool mentions of Missouri, and a lot of people in the crowd really connect to that and get excited. And Chris Pratt, I love Chris Pratt. Again, he's becoming one of my favorite actors because he has that perfect blend of comedy and action, and being able to, you know, to truly be the hero. It meshes so well.
And he has a good skill where he's acting, but at the same time, he's not acting.
He's being himself.
He knows how to be relatable.
Exactly.
He knows how to, like, be himself, but as this character.
Yeah.
And I think that's an impressive thing.
And I think that's because in real life, he is kind of that guy.
Oh,
he's just this normal guy, down to earth. And it's so much fun when you can relate to someone on the big screen, because that's hard to do oftentimes.
Oh, yeah. And that's important for, you know, films like this that are set in these, you know, like, fantasy science fiction worlds. You have to have that main character that resembles, you know, a human in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And you have to get behind them.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we'll talk about May 4th. That's what Star Wars did well.
Exactly.
You have to have that main character who is on point to guide you through this adventure. And that's what gotta give him credit. He does well.
He does. And it combines these very normal ideas, these very normal notions, and it compares them and puts and places them in a very otherworldly, you know, universe that's not normal. And it kind of it pulls you in more. It sucks you in more. And for that reason, I think I enjoy it, you know, all the more. Not to be repetitive.
Absolutely.
But
I'd say I can't recommend it enough. Baby Groot is exactly what
I thought
it would be.
Hilarious. It worked, and adorable.
The way this film opened with him was phenomenal.
It was really good. I mean, we were just talking about this. We're going to go see it again, of course, probably early next week, because there's just so many things. There's so much happening. I feel there's so many things I missed that I really want to see.
I mean, it's just like the first one. It's an anti-superhero movie.
It is, and you know what?
They are heroes.
I think I prefer it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Because, again, it's fun, and again, the soundtrack, it's not overdone, but it just works.
Yeah.
Like, they find, like, these... The songs that are kind of famous but aren't too well known, which works perfectly. Where here comes the mention of DC, Suicide Squad.
Oh gosh.
Just found every big name song they could.
It's and like, just threw it at
it
you.
It doesn't work. This actually, that's what I love about, you know, just everybody involved in this film. They knew what they were doing and they knew how to put what where and what it sound like.
Exactly. And I think another thing that they
And it's also a feels trip.
Well, of course. Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, without giving too much away, I mean, you do feel every emotion in the book.
It's emotional and funny, which
it
is what you want.
And that's a hard balance to find. But I think something that Guardians of the Galaxy does incredibly well is, and we've briefly touched on this a couple times, but it's a pigeonhole that DC has fallen into already and has been there arguably since the Christopher Nolan days with The Dark Knight. And Marvel is kind of falling into as this, you know, focusing on the dark, you know, the really, I don't want to say negative, but just the dark aspect of the superhero world.
And I mean, that's what Captain America Civil War ended on. It was just like, oh, they're broken apart.
Exactly,
Don't get me wrong, I love that film, but at the same time, it's like, we don't need to keep seeing this.
I get
you're setting up for, you know, Infinity War. It's going to be big. A lot of people are going to die. But at the same time, I was like, could we get there? Can we feel that in that movie?
Exactly.
I feel like it's too early. And that's what's great about this movie. It's, of course, going to be set. It's setting up for Thanos and the Avengers to fight. Then eventually Guardians will come in somehow.
Of course.
And part two, I believe, is the plan.
Yeah.
But the same, it's like, they're making us love these characters now without, you know, any instance of like, oh boy, I'm kind of sick of them. Like, that's how you should build into it.
You know, and I'll even say this, something I think this film brought, and this is maybe going out on a limb here to say this, because this film, it's ultra high fantasy. But I think it, one of the first movies I've seen in a little bit that's really kind of brought back that whole suspension of disbelief and that escapism. Like, I felt really invested in the movie the whole time. Obviously, I mean, it's not the same level of escapism that you're going to have with, like, E.T. or the Goonies or Raiders of the Lost Ark, but definitely escapism nonetheless. I mean, I was definitely very invested in the world that the characters were living in.
And because it just makes you feel like you're a part of this adventure. It's like,
exactly.
Like, here we are on this planet right now. Here's the conflict. That's what's great.
That's
what's great overall. And like we said, I can't recommend this enough. It's a worth see.
So far, as of May the 4th, 2017, best movie I've seen of the year.
I'd say so. Even Logan pushes that up.
I will say I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed Logan. I definitely did.
All right. So there you go. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. You probably would to begin with, but
Allow us to tell you one more time, go and see it, because we are definitely going to see it again. So now we begin the transition into the summer blockbuster series.
Because it has begun.
It's begun as of today.
And look at that how you will.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out.
The last two summers were not good, but hopefully this will be a bit of a turnaround.
Let's hope.
So, Kyle, let's go backwards here. Let's say the best for last.
Good call.
Let's start with what we're absolutely, we'll try to avoid.
All right, start us off.
We have Amityville, The Awakening, which I think is the third remake of this series.
Three too many.
I'm so lost with where they're at. I don't even know what this is anymore.
I don't either.
I'm guessing it's a reboot because there's not too many reboots or remakes this summer.
Yeah, there's not a. But the problem is there's not a whole lot of context provided with this either. So we have kind of like what you're saying. We have no idea where this is going. It's going to be.
The only thing I know is like there's a former Disney child star who's in this. I don't care.
Yeah, me either.
I didn't like the Amityville to begin with, the original. So. Yeah, six times the charm, I guess.
So that's what we put on our, what we're labeling, the don't care list.
That's pretty much what I wrote there.
Literally, don't care.
I have King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Okay. Why, skip it.
Yep, let's just keep going.
This is where we'll probably conflict immediately. I do not care about Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales.
That's because you have bad opinions, Peter. No, I'm just kidding. No, As discussed in the past, I love Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm a huge fan of the franchise, but I will admit they're taking it too far. Just like Transformers, they're taking it way too... I was a fan of the first Transformers film. They're taking it way too far.
Oh, get ready. There's going to be like 14 more, apparently, Michael Bay. But on the subject...
We're going to be in Transformers 27 by the time that we're finished with the show. But, I mean, anyways.
Just with Pirates of the Caribbean, I like the first two. But I think it's a problem of you're basing a franchise off a ride.
Absolutely.
And it worked initially, but again, as you kept going, it's like, okay, what do you have now?
See, that's a huge problem I have, and this is the Disney nerd going to come out at me for a second, because that's an argument that a lot of people make. You're trying to make an entire franchise, trying to make all these films based off of a ride. Well, if you go back to the root of it all, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie essentially was very, very thinly laced with elements of the attraction. There were not a lot of direct correlations between the two. My problem was the movie ended up reimagining, quote-unquote, the attraction. And, gosh, I was not a fan of the reimagining. I mean, I still appreciate it. I still love Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie and the attraction, just because that's the fan in me coming out. But it's this cyclical thing that just needs to stop. Disney, if you're listening... Just stop with the Pirates of the Caribbean. Let it be. Let Johnny Depp move on to something else.
They just texted me. They're looking at analysis saying they're probably going to make $750 million off this. So you know what?
They're going to just kind of hang on to it.
Yeah, it's like, we'll run into the ground if we have to.
And they may.
But
they
you did mention the next film I want to talk about.
Let's hear it. Transformers,
Transformers 5, The Last Night.
I don't... What is this? This is like...
Apparently they're going back in time
This is like Transformers meets Lord of the Rings meets Alien. I'm done. I'm so done with this franchise.
I don't even know where they're at anymore. The worst part is I saw... God, what was part four called a few years back?
I don't even remember. I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember.
Someone Google that for me, but...
Here, while you're talking, I'm going to Google
that. While I talk about Transformers again, I just don't understand what the point of any of this is, because you never built... anything off what the original 80s show did and the early 2000s show did right, where they made you...
Age of Extinction.
I probably wasn't even close.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that was Dinosaurs. Yeah.
Age of Extinction. Yeah. 2014.
Oh, God, that felt like forever.
Gosh, I know. We have Transformers, then Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, then was it Dark Side of the Moon?
Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon, yeah, Dark of the Moon, and then Age of Extinction, and now The Last Night with an asterisk. Other films are in development. Great.
I'm wondering, because, Age of Extinction had dinosaurs. This one has knights. Are they going to, develop human history in the form of the Transformers?
I really hope not.
Are we going to have an American Revolution Transformers?
Dear God, I hope not.
Historically speaking, Optimus Prime did help George Washington cross the river.
Yeah. There you go.
Actually, if that's where this franchise is going, I might be...
I was going to say, Peter, you're going to be back into it by that
God,
point.
I would. Because that sounds so stupid.
It does. It's going to be just a big parody. I feel like it's already to that point now.
Mm-hmm. But again, this is what made Michael Bay the second highest grossing filmmaker in history.
Yeah, say what you will about the man. He's a genius. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to market.
He knows what his name means.
Absolutely.
And he knows people will buy into it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Age of Extinction, I think, made $1 billion.
Yeah.
And that was with the worst reviews from critics and audiences.
Let's see.
Like, every time I run into somebody, it's like, what'd you think of Age of Extinction?
$1.1 billion.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
You know what? Let's just let him have give him the respect.
I gotta stop being pretentious with film. You know what, man? That's the market. Have fun.
That's the market. You know what? Have fun, Michael Bay.
Because you know
next?
What? At least he's not making the emoji movie.
Oh, my gosh. The fact that this is a thing, that this is real. What has cinema come to?
Some executive thought, hey, kids like emojis. Let's make an emoji movie.
I don't even want
to. That's literally what happened.
It is.
That's
I don't think we should waste any more breath on that.
All you have to know is Patrick Stewart somehow is in it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the poop emoji.
Wow. That's our don't care list, just in case you wanted to know.
You know what? Let's get into.
Somewhat interested.
Let's start getting positive here. Oh, Baywatch. We got to add that to don't care.
Oh, yeah.
That looks dumb.
Yeah.
Simple. What I'm interested in. Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
With Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Who a few years ago was in probably one of my favorite movies in a long time, Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. You watched that, what, 7 times in the theater?
Probably 7 or 8.
But anyway.
Money well spent.
Of course.
Again, this is another good action role, and it sounds interesting. She's a spy in Germany during the Cold War. She's trying to get nuclear intel from the Russians.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that sounds great.
That's
to
right
me.
Up your alley, Peter.
That sounds fantastic to me. Believe it or not, because you probably think, oh, Peter hates remakes and reboots, he's going to be against everyone. I kind of want to see The Mummy.
You know what? I do, too.
Because I love the Universal monster movies growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
They have a soft spot. Again, I love the originals, but it has. Here's the funny thing. It has Tom Cruise in it, who I do enjoy.
Yeah.
And
kind of like you were saying.
In the past
a lot of his most. Yeah, go ahead. That's exactly what you're going to say.
In the past couple years, he's not had that many disasters.
Yeah.
He had a. Obviously, had the Mission Impossible movies are still going good. I forget the film name, but I know the tag was like Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
Can't believe I forgot that film. That's a great film I saw.
I'll look it up.
But
Google, gotta love it.
Oh, thank God we have this technology.
This is not an endorsement of Google.
He's
Edge of Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
People, if you have not seen Edge of Tomorrow, even though I forgot the name of it, it is a brilliant, brilliant.
He loves it so much he couldn't remember.
That's me in a nutshell. But yeah, he's doing good.
Yeah.
Because he knows what he is.
Of course.
He knows the parody around himself.
Oh,
and
without
he works with it very well. And again, it's him in his best role saving the world. That's what I love.
You know, and after seeing that trailer on the big screen, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued.
It doesn't look bad. It looks visually speaking, it looks okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I'll give it a shot.
There's also Dark Tower.
Yeah.
From Stephen King with Idris Elba.
I'll give it a shot.
Not the biggest Stephen King guy in the world, but you know what? I'll give it a chance.
Fair enough.
Probably should have done Mixed before Interested. That's an error on my part.
Hey, that's okay.
I have 2 superhero movies, and they are 2 superheroes who are my top 3 favorites in the comics.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Obviously, my opinions on the DC Warner Brothers franchise state is very, very well known.
Yeah.
I love Wonder Woman. She's actually my favorite superhero.
Yeah.
But Gal Gadot did not impress me in Dawn of Justice, which, again, in fairness, it wasn't her movie. She appeared in the towards the end.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't have faith that they're going to pull this off.
Oh, I understand.
I like the World War I setting. I think it could be cool. They have Ares, God of War, she's going to fight, most likely.
Yeah.
It could be fun, but I'm holding my breath.
Well, yeah, my biggest apprehension is with Spider-Man, because I really want this movie to be good, but I've also said that about every single Spider movie that's been coming out over the past few years.
And again, this is the third reboot since 2002.
It's like, come on.
And people kind of need to calm down. I know he was fun when he appeared in Civil War last year, but I was not convinced, like, oh, yeah, he's the best Spider-Man ever. It's like, it's been like 5 minutes. You're just overly excited.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at this movie. I think it looks good. I love Michael Keaton, again, playing some form of bird. I don't know why. I just love him playing a villain.
Yeah.
Especially. Michael Keaton's great.
Without a doubt.
And, this new Spider-Man looks fun. I hope they get the balance right, where you have to have Peter Parker as just this horrifically awkward nerd, which Tobey Maguire pulled off fantastically. And you also have to have the smart Alex Spider-Man, which is what Garfield kind of got right.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't have the right word, so.
Thinly laced. It needed a little more.
Yeah, kind of. It was a little too modern.
Yeah. And don't worry, though, folks. I mean, if this movie's terrible, that's why we're here. That's why Real Talk is here. We watch the movie so you don't have to.
I will dedicate 30 minutes to explain why I don't like this movie.
Exactly.
Because I can do it with Spider-Man 3 right
now. We're definitely known for doing that. Yeah. I mean, look at the Power Rangers episode, but that's another story.
That was a fantastic episode on our part.
Yeah. So we're moving into the most anticipated list. So we have some pretty exciting movies.
I'm going to start in a weird place. I don't think many people know this movie's coming out.
Let's hear it.
It's called Logan Lucky.
Okay.
It's apparently a heist film set during a NASCAR race.
Well, those are two of your favorite things, heists and NASCAR.
Well, used to be NASCAR, but still, the idea that I'm just reading, like, it's probably going to be a bomb. I imagine it's going to get mixed to less than fair reviews.
Yeah.
But just the idea that someone's like, what should we do? Heist NASCAR races. Perfect. Make a film.
Make a movie about it.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
I don't even care if I have to drive, 40 miles to see it. I will.
Exactly.
I want to see this movie.
I'll watch it.
It just sounds so dumb.
I'll be right there with you.
I'm cheering for them, eating
my overly buttered popcorn.
I will cheer for this to the end. There's Detroit with John Boyega from, obviously Finn in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Set during the 1967 Detroit riots.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not really a blockbuster film. But it could be an interesting story.
Definitely. Right. I think it will be very interesting, without a doubt.
And I enjoyed John Boyega. He was great in Attack of the Block, so
yeah.
I'm interested in what he'll do in a serious film like this.
Yeah.
Cars 3, we're going back to NASCAR-esque film.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this.
I love Cars 1.
Yeah.
I'm in a minority there. Like, at most people are like, I thought it was okay. He's like, I loved it.
Oh, I did too.
Cars 2 was awful. I agree with everybody there. This looks interesting.
It does.
This looks
dark.
So dark. In a good way.
It does, because that's something Disney and Pixar are oftentimes afraid to do. You know, they're afraid to really reach and stretch that muscle. So I think this could be very good.
And Disney and Pixar do the, rising from adversity challenge, down on your luck, end of the line story very well. So I think this could be an interesting take.
I agree.
We also got Alien Covenant.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
The sequel, prequel, reboot, remake to Prometheus, we think.
I don't know anymore. Yeah.
I don't even know what Prometheus is about, but I liked it.
We still don't know what that movie's about.
Yeah, seen it like five times. I'm like, okay, good. So I hope I get that same feeling again.
Yeah. That's always a good feeling, though, to come away like, I don't really know what happened, but I liked it,
Absolutely. We also have Dunkirk.
Yeah.
From
I'm
Christopher
very...
Nolan.
Of course, I have my obvious... setbacks with Harry Styles being in the movie. No offense, Harry Styles. But, I obviously love Christopher Nolan, and I know that you absolutely adore Christopher Nolan, so I know you must be incredibly excited about
this. I respect him as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think he knows what he's doing, and that's when I heard Harry Styles is going to be in a movie about the Allies retreating from France as Nazis surround him. I was like, Harry Styles is going to be in that?
Yeah, but that was my thought.
The more I thought about it, I was like, if Chris Nolan's making a point of like all the walks of life from the UK and the army at that time retreating to, the homeland.
Yeah.
I can work with that.
Yeah. I think this has just a lot of very good things to bring to the big screen. I mean, it's one of my favorite eras to learn about history. And again, an amazing director in charge. I'm very excited.
And World War II movies, that's an easy sell for me.
Oh,
no
absolutely.
Matter what. And I just don't... When I keep telling people, like, what's Dunkirk about? Like, most people have not heard of this.
Yeah.
It's actually, in some ways, it's probably one of the turning points of the World War II.
Yeah.
Because if this didn't succeed, the Nazis probably would have won Western Europe.
Yeah.
It was very important that they get to the homeland.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So this is going to be interesting. But before I get to I think what we can agree is probably the biggest film this summer. Is there anything we have missed, in your opinion, on, looking forward to, mix... avoid at all costs.
I think we've outlined quite a bit over the past, 25 minutes or so. I think we've done a good job, tackling the don't care list, the interested, and the mixed. But I know what you're ready to talk about, so go ahead, introduce it. What are we most excited for this summer?
I am dying for War of the Planet of the Apes.
So am I.
This movie looks gorgeous.
And it does.
I can say that because the last two, Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, have been possibly some of the best filmmaking I've seen on a consistent basis in since I was born in that time of filmmaking. I think this is just a crew that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
They turned something in that, let's be real, as classic as the original Planet of the Apes was, at best it's mediocre.
Yeah.
From a storytelling standpoint. These are fantastic.
Yeah.
These are just so the CGI in these apes.
Oh, it's incredible.
Is jaw-dropping.
It is.
And again, that's because you have Andy Serkis, who knows how to do, you know,
exactly
this type of character in this, you know, condition. But again, after Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you know, it's like we're getting closer to Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be, it could easily, I don't know if this is the last film.
Yeah.
But it feels like this is,
it very well could be.
This is the end of the third act, because you had the first act, beginning everything. You had the second act, you know, it's like, we have made our decision on how we're going to view this problem. Now we have to get to the end.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then my God, I feel like they're going to do it.
I
do
too.
This is the film I am the most confident in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I am, you know, I will say the film that is in close second is honestly Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm.
But my number one is, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Because I think Nolan's going to use Dunkirk to rebound after Interstellar. Not a bad film.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, ooh, Nolan, you kind of missed the ball here.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, with, even if we have a lot of bombs, which looking at the trends in Hollywood and the summer blockbuster season, we're going to have.
We will, absolutely.
But if War of the Planet of the Apes and Dunkirk can be as good as I'm hoping, even Logan Lucky,
that'll satisfy you.
I will be good.
And like we mentioned, if they're bad, we see them, so you don't have to.
Absolutely.
So it works out.
Well, everyone, summer 2017 is here.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
We're going to see where it goes. That's right. So, you know,
I'm hoping for another summer 2013 or 2014, because those were very good seasons for escapism and just filmmaking in summer in general.
I say let's bring that back. Let's bring back those good summers, because we need that. We need a revive for those good summers. So as always, folks, you know, you can check us out on Google Play, on iTunes, the Google Play Store, krcu.org.
As well as the NPR One app.
That's right, NPR One app. Go to Facebook, go to KRCU's page, give that a like. You can also find all of our updates there. So this is, you know, Peter and I want to wish you a very happy May the 4th. And as always, for Real Talk, I'm Colin Ritter.
And I'm Peter Lewis.
We'll see you at the movies.